25 years of Rendezvous de la Francophonie, it's time to celebrate. Welcome to the Franco Podcast. Hello, my name is Catherine Fisher, and I had the pleasure of interviewing 6 bilingual Canadians for this podcast. In this episode, I speak to Juno Award-winning singer-songwriter Andrea Lindsay.
Good morning, Andrea. You grew up speaking English, but you sing mostly in French. Why?
Well, I grew up in Guelph in Ontario and in a completely Anglophone environment. I actually went to France when I was 18, and the more I learned, the more I fell in love with the language. And it's really, I think, so the word that comes to mind is passion. I have a passion for music, and I felt that same sort of spark for French, for learning the French language, the poetry of the language, also the adventure of learning a new language and learning the French language. It all just really lit up my brain in the way that music did. And it's in that way I can't quite describe, which is just that spark, who knows why some things just leave us neutral and then other things just really seem to light us up. And it did that for me. So I decided to combine French and music, my two passions, and I haven't really looked back.
Were you already passionate about music at the time that you went to France?
Yes, always. I grew up with just sort of with an ear to when I was a 4-year-old, this will date me, but when I was 4, the stereo was an actual piece of furniture. So, I mean, yeah. It was basically the same height as me, and I would just put my head to the speakers, and my mom would listen to a lot of 45s, and I grew up with just music, and I just always remember being there, and then the stereo had a little microphone to plug in, and just always gravitating towards it and interested in it, and inquires, and yeah, just always gravitating towards it in the same way that I saw with French, that I just seemed to naturally go towards it and just keep coming back, keep returning.
What kind of 45s did your mom have?
Oh my goodness. We had the Beatles. We had a whole bunch of stuff too, that like the Partridge Family, you name it really. It was also, some of the stuff wasn't even, you know, top 40. It would be sort of the B-sides. They were sort of obscure. We had, oh my goodness. Well, of course, Elvis, the Beatles, the Beach Boys, all of those. But we also had Joni Mitchell and The Guess Who and all sorts of things, very oldies. So my mom basically made jukeboxes out of us. We're three girls. And music from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And then, of course, the 80s. We were living in the 80s. We were children of the 80s. So those are the decades that I really know the music too, know a lot of the words, and just really, I think it influences my music, just all of those bands and sounds and, yeah, the culture of it.
Can you think of a particular moment in your life when you realized you'd become fluent in French, and how did that feel?
Ooh, I don't know if there was ever a moment. Well, actually, yeah, there was a fun moment when I was in university. And I switched my courses to French when I came back from France. I got a waiver and I switched my courses. And I was in this French literature class. And this one girl, she did a project on a show called Passepartout. And me and my sisters, especially my eldest sister, Pamela, she said, you know, maybe if we watch this show every day, we'll learn French. And we just, it looked so great. And we knew it is a great show. And anyway, this girl did an expose on what she grew up with, and it was That Show. We called it That Show, which was, of course, Passepartout. And I remember getting choked up. I'm getting choked up talking about it. I remember getting choked up because I was 23 at the time, and I understood That Show. She put in, and it was an old VHS of, would have been around the same episodes that we must have seen and just didn't understand. And here I am sitting there and I'm understanding That Show. I told my sisters, I said, I understood That Show today. And I, yes, there was something there. I still had a lot of work to do. But I remember thinking, this is possible. I'm making progress.
I understand that you studied to be a translator. Have you worked in that field?
Yes, I have. I used to work at CGI. So that's a sort of a computer oh my goodness, it's sort of a computer outsourcing, computer technology. I was obviously not on the computer end, the way I'm talking, but yes, I translated the resumes. I've done quite a few more technical things. And then I just decided to put all of my energy into music. So I have put translation aside, but I still do translations from time to time for friends or, you know, for my friend Dave Fichard. He has a magazine en ligne. It's an architecture magazine. And every once in a while, it's kind of fun to go back and to flex that muscle. But I'm pretty much just doing music now.
Has your concept of being bilingual changed over time?
Oh, yes. You know what? It has. I think my concept of being bilingual has changed over time because the more I live in the language, which my partner is Francophone, he doesn't really speak a lot of English, and our 6-year-old son is completely bilingual. I see that it's also being bicultural, that you're speaking another language, but you're also, it's just like you're on another radio channel. It's another version of yourself, and each language has a philosophy and a culture behind it. And I see that with, do you know that singer Daniel Lavoie?
Mm-hmm.
He's a wonderful artist, and he's Francophone from the west of Canada. I think he's from Winnipeg. But I just absolutely, we speak sometimes in both French and in English when we do meet up. And I remember thinking, it's bicultural. It's not just bilingual. So there's a sense of culture and philosophy that is behind each language and each language within the region you're speaking. I mean, even in English or in any language, we have certain words, the certain idiomatic expressions that we might use in one region more than another. And yeah, it really opened me up to that, to see that our language, I don't want to say dictates, but encourages the way we may even see the world, the way we may perceive the world.
What do you love about being bilingual?
Oh my goodness. I just feel, again, and that would tie into the last question, I just feel like it opens me up to have a bigger palette to express myself. It's really fun being with bilingual friends. We just sort of switch back and forth, and you can use sort of, more of your palette. And there are just things that you think, oh, I can only say this in English. I don't know how you would say this in French, and vice versa. And so it's just been a lot of fun. Also, I feel sort of like a child too. Like, it allows me to be sort of, I always call it Andrea in Wonderland or Andrea au Pays des Merveilles. Just that idea that I can also learn as an adult and sort of give myself that room to play and not be, I think in English, I tend to put more pressure on myself to speak properly and speak like an adult. And I'm allowed sort of, or I've allowed myself to make mistakes in French and keep going. I think that's also had an impact on other areas of my life where you think, well, you're learning. You want to try to learn the piano, which I do not play, by the way, wish I did. But I'll take lessons and I'll progress. And I think it just helps you just see yourself, I think, as an evolving and a learning organism, even later in life, you know.
Is there anything that feels a bit difficult about being bilingual?
Oh my goodness. When I wake up and I haven't had my coffee and then the phone rings and it's in French, that's never really a pleasant experience. And I do, as I mentioned, live in French with my partner, and it can be quite entertaining. There can be funny little things, that just a lack of communication that later we break it down. And I mean, we're talking, just as an example, in French, they call the garbage bags green bags, les sacs verts, but even if they're not green. So I was like, wow, he's looking for these green bags. I'm looking for these green bags. I can't find them. And then he's like, oh, no, I just mean a garbage bag. And I mean, all those tiny details can be a challenge, where it is just easier for me in English. I did start learning French at 18, so my brain was a fully developed young adult brain. And I do see that sometimes I struggle. It can be frustrating. And it just depends on the day, on my level of patient. So there are some days that I still get tired, and it'll be interesting as my son gets older. You know, he starts, I don't know, developing his French, and he'll teach me some things. But I learn every day, and so some days are good days, and some days I don't feel like learning. So yeah, it really depends.
So you were the RVF spokesperson in 2011. What did that mean to you at that time?
Oh, it was such an honor. I think as an Anglophone that's come in from a complete other culture and had such a desire to learn and to belong to the community, it's just really touching to me. And I have to say, I was really impressed by the sense of community that I felt from that experience, and the sense of community in the Francophone community, Francophonie at large. I think when you're driven to protect and preserve your language and your culture, I think it does bring people together. And I just felt honored to be a small part of that, you know, to be welcomed in. I feel honored to be a sort of adopted in and sort of taken into the fold a little bit, you know, and to get to know people in their language. That's something else that's really, really nice. I've met Francophones when I did not speak French, and I lived in Sudbury for a year and I didn't speak French at the time. It was just nice to go back and to be able to meet them in their language. So all of that's just been such an honor.
Do you have any advice for somebody that's learning French?
Oh, definitely. I think my biggest thing was just be patient with yourself and allow yourself to make mistakes. Don't be too hard on yourself. The people that inspired me the most when I saw them learning English were the people that just went for it. And it's okay. It's not your first language. You're not being judged and, you know, you can't speak or something. And I think that was my biggest roadblock, was just allowing myself to make mistakes and make mistakes in front of people. When I was in France, I got lonely enough that I just finally just started doing that. And that's when I started making progress. It's just allowing myself to not just drop the perfection effect, where you absolutely protect yourself and you don't learn very much, you know, just let yourself go. And it's okay if you don't speak perfectly.
Well, that's wonderful advice. Thank you, Andrea. Thanks for making yourself available.
Oh, well, you're welcome. It was great talking to you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Rendezvous de la Francophonie's Franco podcast. In this episode, you heard from Juno Award-winning singer-songwriter Andrea Lindsay.